All right, we're back. We're very excited tonight to have John Copper in studio with us. And this is going to be an interesting hour, I think, for all of us, our listeners, as well as our sponsors. And this is going to be an interesting segment, to say the least. First, I want to remind our listeners that on Thursday night, that's tomorrow night, the UVA Club of Richmond is holding a special event down at Mulligan's in the Fan, where they're going to be doing a game-watching party. They'll be gathering at 7 o'clock. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. UVA is playing at Miami. Big game. Both teams are 4-3. And UVA Club has got some nice drawing prizes, including an autographed football signed by Coach Mike London. And there are drink specials and probably some appetizer specials, too. So make sure you Wahoos get down there and cheer on the Wahoos.
Yeah, an opportunity to watch the game with other Hoos.
How much more fun can you have? All right, so here we have John Copper with us, former UVA walk-on linebacker from Northside High School out there in Roanoke. He wore jersey number 54 when he was at Virginia. He played from 2005 to 2008. And we were joking off air about how much Steve Greer seems to be mimicking John from his playing days, and probably having watched a lot of film of other games, Greer would do well to mimic John Copper. But John's here with us, and one of the things that we're most impressed by with John is what he's doing today with his career. And I'm going to turn the mic over to John, let him describe that.
Yeah, I am a wellness coach. I'm kind of home-based down in Roanoke, but I do a lot of stuff virtually. And basically what I do is I kind of see where folks are at health-wise, see what their goals are, their concerns are, whether that's, you know, my knees hurt or I want to lose a little weight or I want to perform better as an athlete. So I kind of run the gamut there. And then I put together a tailored game plan for folks that's custom one-on-one and kind of coach them through implementing that to improve their health. And you can check that out. RejuvenationHealth.com has all the information on that. So that's the primary deal. I do a good amount of speaking to sports teams, corporate wellness stuff, that sort of thing as well. So that kind of runs the gamut there.
Now, is that how you market your services primarily?
What's that, through the speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I do a good amount of stuff online. Of course, I get some stuff from the chiropractic clinic I work out of. But yeah, also the speaking has been a very good way to just get the word out about what I'm doing and you know, getting clients from that and that sort of thing.
So now, are a lot of your clients, say, under 40, or do you have a deal with people over 40 as well?
The youngest person I've worked with is age 4, and of course I worked with his parents, and then the oldest one is 91. And then I've worked with a lot of athletes and everywhere in between.
Well, that's funny you say 4-year-old, because, I mean, you know, a lot of the discussion in the culture and society now is on childhood obesity, which, you know, I may have a couple of pounds more than I need right now, but I didn't when I was a child. But I think maybe the physical activity, just not what it used to be, you know, a generation or so ago.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of it. I also think our food sources have changed so much that our body responds differently to the foods that we're eating. You know, a lot of times the marketing, it would seem like you don't get out of the house and off the couch and go to the gym enough, and you can't seem to put your fork down. But in reality, the foods that we're eating shut off the mechanisms in our brain and our body to tell us to stop eating. And those sorts of things, and they also they
so hold on. You mean I can blame the food? this will be a shock to my wife.
Well, you know, but it is interesting, and a lot of times folks look at maybe somebody that's overweight or obese, and they say, "Oh, that person, they don't have enough self control or whatever it is." And again, my opinion, and there's a lot of research. Dr. Barry Sears, if you've ever heard of the Zone Diet, he backs this up very well scientifically. You know, a lot of those folks eat the same amount of calories other folks do. It's just what they're actually eating.
Could you give us some examples of that? I mean, how things have changed? I mean, how are the foods different?
Yeah, so in the 1970s, we introduced a really cheap substance called high fructose corn syrup into the diet.
Very bad.
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup is actually banned in a couple of European countries. You can't, you know, it's not allowed to be
on the market. And is that a preservative? Is that why it was put in there?
No, it is a very cheap corn derivative. It's very sweet. It's actually in, I call it the center aisles. You know, if you go to the grocery store, you do well to stay out of the center aisles. You do well to go around the edges, get your fruits, your vegetables, your dairy, you know, some meats, and then leave.
Well, the good news for me, the alcohol is usually on the edges.
There is no hope for you.
but you know, in those center aisles, that's where you have the chips, the pastries, you know, all those sorts of things, the boxed goods, the breads, all the grains. As much as 80 to 90% of the foods that we get from the grocery store have high fructose corn syrup in it. High fructose corn syrup does several things. One, it increases a hormone called ghrelin in the brain. And ghrelin is what causes you to want to eat more.
Uh-oh.
So that's why if you've ever had a kid and you give them, say, a cookie or something, they never say, man, that was great. They say, I just want another one. It's in our marketing. You know, once you pop, you can't stop. I mean, all of this is marketed that these foods actually shut down the mechanisms in our body and cause us to eat more.
So this high fructose corn syrup, ever since you reminded me of this several weeks ago, now I look on the labels of everything now. And it's very hard to find beverages other than water and certain teas that don't have it. It's almost in everything now. Mm-hmm. And what else does it do to your body besides the triggering the mechanism in the brain?
Okay, other than impacting the ghrelin hormone negatively, it also causes your blood sugar levels to spike. Anytime your blood sugar levels spike, your body signals store fat. So what happens is our bodies are designed – think about this. The sweetest thing that we can find in nature is honey.
Mm-hmm.
Honey is 17% the sweetness of high fructose corn syrup. So the sweetest thing we find in nature is 1/6 as sweet as high fructose corn syrup. So, again, our bodies aren't designed to be this blood sugar spikes constantly. And usually what happens is we get up, we have some sort of cereal or something in the morning that has high fructose corn syrup in it, spikes our blood sugar levels. That signals the brain, signals the body, store fat.
Yep.
Then that spikes your insulin levels. Your pancreas has to secrete insulin to drive it back down. When your insulin levels spike, all your other hormones go out of whack. So hormonal imbalances, a lot of that can deal with diet. Then it drops, your blood sugar levels drop below normal, and you have to secrete glucogen to get it back up. And then by the time you get it back up, you have a snack, and you start the roller coaster over again. The chiropractor I work with, he says, you know, a roller coaster's fine maybe once a year, but you don't want to be on one 3 or 4 times a day. And the typical American diet, we're on this hormonal insulin blood sugar roller coaster usually 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day.
So what should we be eating?
Pretty much, I get a lot of stuff. I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of Michael Pollan? He's written a few books, one called In Defense of Food. He's been featured a lot. Basically, he says eat plants, you know, mostly raw, and then
broccoli.
Yeah, so you know, plant-based foods are good. Our ancestors, and cross-culturally, they would have had a diet that was primarily fruits and vegetables. With good fats, so things like avocados, nuts, seeds, those sorts of things, and then lean sources of protein, mostly free range, so things that are feeding on grass.
Chicken.
Yeah, we eat mostly stuff that's feeding on grain.
They've ruined the grain,
yeah,
which is ruining the chickens and the pigs.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much everything now is grain-fed.
What about Reese's Cups? Are they good?
Hobo, that's double bad.
But that's a good question. Here's what I tell folks. You know, when I coach folks, I tell them, okay, here's what's called the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, try to eat well, whatever that looks like for you. And 20% of the time, if you like Reese's Cups or diet soda or whatever it is, it's okay. You just want to have a regular habit
now,
of that.
Diet soda is a good – I've heard a lot of bad things about diet soda. It's somehow, you know, it's zero calories, but it's really not good for you.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Kind of the backlash from the 70s is all these diet products that since we're gaining in weight and that sort of thing, then diet products are better. Diet products are probably the worst thing you can put in your body. Other than a substance called nitrates and nitrites. Those are in a lot of packaged lunch meats. But diet sodas, here's what they do. One is they kill off beneficial bacteria in your gut. Have you guys seen the Activia commercials about the beneficial bacteria in the gut?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, basically what it is, they talk about immune function being boosted when you have more beneficial bacteria. The problem is artificial sweeteners, so all your Crystal Lights, all those low-carb yogurts, well, it doesn't make any sense to me that you put an artificial sweetener in a yogurt. most of your diet drinks, all that, they kill off the beneficial bacteria. They help destroy the lining of the small intestine, so your body's ability to absorb nutrients is lower. And they're also neurotoxins. And neurotoxins, some of them take as much as 2 decades to get out of your brain. They latch to fat cells, and your brain's made of fat. So if you're doing it on a daily basis, a lot of these diet sodas, and then, of course, folks do diet Red Bulls, that's even worse. You know, all these things, they're
– Go back to Red Bull a second.
Yeah.
So you see, like, Rockstar and Red Bull and some of these things, 5-hour energy and all this stuff. Not to disparage these things, but generally aren't these products like just about the worst items that you can be pouring down your throat?
Okay, there was a study that came out a few years ago, and they basically did blood draws and did lipid profiles, heart, you know, all your cardiovascular profiles within an hour after consuming sugar-free Red Bull. The results were basically the folks were compared to 50-year-olds with heart disease after 1 hour of consuming one sugar-free Red Bull. So just the things that it does, Red Bulls are actually banned by the VHSL and the NCAA.
Wow.
And the reason they're banned is that they have a synthetic caffeine and taurine combination. Now, I'm all for a little caffeine in moderation if you get it from a little bit of coffee, a little bit of green tea. But when you get it from a synthetic source, and what I mean is that's not a source that comes from a plant. That's something they're making in a laboratory. And that's what all these drinks have in them, these synthetic caffeines. That's what gives an artificial increase in heart rate. And that sort of thing gives jitters and then gives the crash afterwards. And what they've had kids on playing fields that have dropped dead from heart issues, and they link it to the synthetic caffeine taurine combination that are in things like 5-Hour Energies and Red Bulls.
Now, where did you learn all this stuff? You said you were a religion major.
Sounds like a doctor to me.
It sounds like a biology major here.
Yeah, a little disclaimer. I'm not a doctor, so anything you take from here, definitely run it by your healthcare professional. But, no, I just, you know, when I was 14, I started reading, studying, and basically it was a means to become a better athlete. And then from there, it branched out into overall wellness. I was really sick as a kid. I had over 50 full-blown ear, nose, throat, sinus infections prior to age 16. I had 6 operations on my ears. With 8 antibiotics like candy, augment, and amoxicillin every 3 months. I was on 2 weeks of that. Then at age 16, my ENT doctor says, John, you might have a milk allergy. Well, of course, I'm a football player, weightlifter. I'm doing a lot of milk every day. I said, okay, I cut out milk, and that was 11 years ago, and I've had 1 sinus infection since compared to over 50 prior to that. So that's when it really started making sense that, okay, it's not just foods that will help me be a better athlete. There's foods that are harmful for your health from a prevention and wellness standpoint that folks have a, you know, have a problem with. And actually, dairy is one of those things that a lot of folks have issues with, a lot of kids that get those sinus infections like I did. So that's kind of where it started. I've been kind of self-studying there the last 12 years, and I'm actually working towards a certification right now in sports nutrition from a Society of Sports Nutrition there.
Got a news flash here. The Saber, one of our loyal sponsors, has put up the forecast down there in Miami for the game tomorrow night. And they're showing that at kickoff, the chance of storms is pretty high. So they're looking at rain and some thunderstorms. So it could be a very crazy night down there in Miami for
That's the one thing that can delay a football game is a thunderstorm.
That's exactly right. So hopefully it won't get canceled. But
one more question before we go to break, because I know we got a couple minutes here. I don't know, does Virginia on their staff have a person to deal with all these issues?
Yeah, you know, my first couple years there, we had somebody. I didn't know who they were. We never interacted with them. They pretty much kind of ran the dining hall. Then we had a guy named Rob Skinner that was in there, and Rob was excellent. I spent a lot of time with him. He was very knowledgeable, very helpful. And now they have another fellow that's, you know, Rob ended up taking another job there. They have another person there that's on the nutrition staff that does. So there's a lot more education now. Even the progression, the 5 years I was there, as we went along, there was a lot more education.
And the football team, how many of the meals during a week are supervised as opposed to them eating on their own?
During camp, you've got probably 3 or 4. So during those three and a half weeks in August. Then during the year, one.
It's one pretty much just a pregame meal or something?
No, just every evening.
After practice?
Yeah.
I've got the name right here. Randy Bird is the director of sports nutrition at UVA now.
I've heard good things about Randy. Basically, what Randy's job is, he's going to work with the players, all the athletes there, and coach them through things, and then also do make sure the dinner, the meal they do get is high quality.
All right, we're going to go to our 7:20 break now. We've got John Copper in studio here. We're going to be joined by Billy McMullen on the phone after we get back from break. So stay with us. More discussion on a very interesting topic tonight. Who's Talking? We'll be back after these messages. All right, welcome back. Who's Talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, John Copper in studio. Michael Tusky is here as well. And we're going to be joined now on the phone by someone who's become a regular guest. Our friend Billy McMullen, and Frank will give a slight introduction to a man that needs no introduction.
He really doesn't. Billy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you guys doing tonight?
We're great. We miss you. We know you're going to be back with us in studio next week. So,
that's a definite. I'll be there.
All right, we're looking forward to that because we know we're going to have some good news to talk about next week.
Yeah, we sure will, man. Who was a good one for us, man? I assure you that.
All right. Well, you and John go back a ways, and you've talked about fitness and diet and nutrition and general good health. Both of you, I think, had tremendous careers by staying healthy. So let's look at that. What kind of things have you discussed with John over the years?
Me and John, we are both advocates of health. We both believe in nutrition, man. We shared a lot of things about how athletes take care of his body, but also how a guy that works a 9-to-5 or a guy that's even a retired person should take care of their body in the weight room, and also eating right and getting the proper rest and just taking the right supplements to enhance their living. And we're strong advocates for that because we know that when your body's right, your mind is right, and you can help a lot of other folks in what you do.
You know, Billy, I know that you've been teaching some classes over at Zacharias Ganey Health Institute.
Correct.
A good sponsor for the show, by the way, this year, brand new sponsor. Talk about what you're seeing out there in the public today through what you're doing at Zacharias Ganey, and maybe relating that a little bit to your discussions with John.
The biggest thing I've seen out there in the public, and this is aside from Zacharias, people just don't know where to start. They don't know where to start. There's so much out here. They don't know what to believe in. There's so many ways you can lose weight is what, you know, a lot of people are showing on the radio and on TV. So most of what I've seen out here is a lot of people are just confused. So what we do is we try to just break it down, simplify it for them that they can understand. And what I always say to my folks, either if it's some guys I'm working out or some people over at Zacharias I'm working out, just keep it simple. Just start with doing something, getting active, whether it be a gym or whether it be some type of sport you can get into. But just stay active.
Billy, this is Hobo. Let me ask you, you were in the NFL for several years, and as I watch an NFL game, a lot of times maybe it's the offensive linemen. They sometimes have a little gut hanging out over the pants there. So tell me, what exactly is the diet situation from the standpoint of an NFL team and the training table and all that kind of stuff?
You'd be surprised. It varies. Most NFL teams have a strong training table, but each guy's their own individual. You'd be surprised who eats well and who doesn't in the NFL, and you would think that a guy with a great body eats very well, but most of the times they binge a little bit or jump into a couple McDonald's spots or, you know, fast food joints. But then on the flip side, some of the bigger guys eat very well because, you know, they have to maintain that certain weight and that certain body type. And a lot of guys, if they don't maintain that weight, they'll blow up pretty fast. But for the most part, most players in the NFL stick to a pretty strict diet with the supplements like John and I always talk about and training regimen and also that training table. Is an essential thing.
I think John has a comment about this subject.
Yeah, I remember Rhonda and Tiki Barber. They're from Roanoke, and they always did a camp every year. That was actually one of my first exposures to UVA. Was in sixth grade, or actually going into eighth grade. Actually, was the first time I went to that camp. And I remember Rhonda and Tiki talking, and they were doing a little Q&A, and they asked one of them, I forget which one, they were the same person to me back then, but asked one of them, hey, how many times do you? And of course, this is in front of probably a couple hundred elementary to middle school age kids. You know, hey, how many times a week do you eat fast food? And I think it was Tiki. Tiki said, I never eat it.
Right.
It never goes into my body. And that's the thing. It's like those things have a direct impact on your ability to recover and perform and that sort of thing.
Definitely. I'm a firm believer that when I played, I very rarely I ate fast food. Even now, I still watch what we eat. My wife stays on me now because she loves anything green or anything that is natural. She's pushing that. So we keep a strict diet at home, too.
You know, Billy, I think of you. I believe you went to Henrico High School, correct?
That is correct.
You know, I think of you back when you first got to Virginia and then how much you developed over time. And ultimately, I think you're still sitting in third place all time in the ACC in terms of yardage, total yardage gained through all those receptions. I think you had something like 200 and some receptions. Talk about how important that discipline paid off for you both then and then as you went into the NFL.
I think it paid dividends in a lot of areas. I'm always a firm believer if you do something, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if I focus on continually do something that's small, and I always give the example of wake up in the morning, I make my bed up. Wake up in the morning, I make my bed up. You know, that grows into something big. So when I hit the weight room or some type of diet or anything that has to do with repetition, my mind is already trained to do that. So it pays huge dividends. So I was more focused on actually doing the tasks and the awards and the accomplishment that came with it. I was more focused on just finish what I said I was going to do and finish what I set out to do on a very consistent basis.
Let me ask a question, and maybe, Billy, you and John can both address this. Talk about the old discussion, behavior versus genetics.
You know, I'll jump in there. I think everybody's genetically predisposed to things. In terms of weight management, the studies have actually shown that genetics have very little to do with that. And it's pretty much you inherit the eating habits that your parents had. So if your parents were overweight and they ate poorly, you're likely to be eating poorly and overweight as well. So I think everybody's genetically predisposed to things, but I think your nutrition is what's going to primarily affect that. We know now with gene studies and different things, you can actually turn on and off certain disease genes and weight genes and different anti-aging genes based on the nutrients and the foods that you're taking in.
Oh, yeah. To piggyback off John, predisposed genetically, everybody has a different body type. You know, my body type is different than John. I'm a thinner man. John's a more...
Husky there, Billy?
I think you were a husky back in high school there, John.
I'll tell you this. Well, of course, Billy, you're in unbelievable shape, but so is John. I mean, it may be a different body type, but John's in terrific shape.
John is in excellent shape. I was just saying from the standpoint of a different body type, you know, I could never put on another 30 or 40 pounds to play linebacker like John did. And my max was around 215 to 220, and when I hit 215, I felt heavy. Just the bone structure, and just like I said, piggybacking off John, everybody's body is different, but like you said, the nutritional aspect of it is really you want to chase after, because you can work out as hard as you can and look like this picture you saw on TV or this guy or you guy you want to look like or this woman you want to look like, but your body has a natural a shape to it. I always push to have a healthy life, not a healthy look. You know, the look will come alongside when you have a healthy life.
Isn't that the truth? Billy, we know we've got you coming in studio next week. Looking forforward to that. And also, we want to thank Zacharias Ganey Health Institute for sharing you with us tonight and next week as well. And we want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, and we appreciate your input. We are headed to break right now. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have former UVA running back Cedric Pearman, who's now with the Cincinnati Bengals.